Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alongside Clint Sterner and Wade Smith, I'm Jeremy Branham. Robert Flores of MLB Network will be joining us at 4 o'clock to discuss Game 1 of the World Series, which starts tomorrow. We'll be out there near Minute Maid Park. Come out and say hello to us. We have a ton of giveaways. You'll want to be out there as we count you down to first pitch of the World Series between the Astros and the Nationals. We'll also get Ruffalo's comments on and thoughts on this Yankee series as the Astros win the ALCS, go to the World Series for the second time in 3 years and for the third time in franchise history. One of the things I'm excited about with this World Series is we don't have to see these gimmicky, you know, tons of bullpen left and right, where all the changes, whether it was the Rays making changes every other inning or the Yankees making a ton of changes late in games. Like, this is mano a mano. This is real baseball, I feel like, in the World Series, where you have one of the best starting rotations in the American League, if not the best, against the National starting rotation, which is almost equally as good. Like, we're going to actually see some starting pitching in this series, guys.
Hey, JB, you want me to let me hit you with some quick facts right here about these pitchers.
Of course,
in the World
I want
Series.
You to hit me with some quick facts.
For the first time in World Series history, 5 of the top 10 pitchers in strikeouts in the regular season are in the World Series. 5 of the top 10 pitchers in strikeouts in the regular season are playing in the World Series starting Tuesday, my man. For the first time since 1945, it's a long time ago. I ain't doing the math, but damn it, I know it's a long time ago. 6 of the top 20 pitchers in ERA are in the World Series.
That's some good pitching.
Astros starters, listen to this right here. This Astros starters struck out 28.9% of the batters they faced in the regular season. It's the highest rate in Major League Baseball history. Okay, that's regular season. The National starters, they've struck out 36.1% of the batters they faced in the postseason. Both of those stats are pretty impressive. I'm going to one-up you, though. Gerrit Cole, the highest rate ever by a starting pitcher, struck out 39.9% of the batters that they faced. Guys, I know I've heard, Wade, you've been on it for a week now, week plus now, about, hey, man, this Nationals, this pitching staff now, the depth is serious now. And I keep going, wait, we ain't there yet, man. Wait, let's get there first. But Clint, man, these guys are serious. They're deep. Well, it's here, and there ain't no doubt about it after hearing those numbers right there. Wade, you hit the nail on the head. The pitching in this series is deep and impressive.
Yeah, no question about it. If you're a baseball purist and you really enjoy the game of baseball at its most fundamental form, you're going to love this series because you're going to have a bunch of aces going head-to-head in the World Series, and you're going to have a bunch of ball games that I think are going to be in question going into the 8th and the 9th and potentially the 10th inning. That's what I see in front of us. And you got guys like Scherzer, Strasburg, and you got Corbin, and you got Sanchez. The Nationals, I think if I had to pick a starting rotation, I think someone can easily say, or not easily say, but it's debatable, but I could think somebody would say, you know what? The Nationals rotation is a little bit better than the Astros. And when you say that, it's like, damn, you when you first made the Grinky trade, you would never have thought that. You'd be like, you know what? The Astros rotation is just ridiculously good. But, you know, Grinky has done okay in the postseason. He hasn't done terrible. And he's definitely done a lot better than what he's done in the past in postseasons. But when you get to their third and fourth starters, I think that the Nationals have a clear advantage. And so when you have that, that means to me, the Astros could easily – they could win this series in 5 games and 6 games. But I think that every one of the games are going to come down to the wire. And if you're an Astros fan, you can kind of rest easy a little bit with that because you have the Altuves, the Bregmans, the Springers, the Correas that are in your lineup, those guys that are known – for making the big plays and making the walk-off home runs.
Yeah, the Nationals have a couple of really good hitters in their middle of the order. Anthony Rendon, who's from just down the road, he's a Houston guy, went to Rice. Juan Soto, one of the best sluggers, one of the best young sluggers in all of Major League Baseball. The Nationals have not announced their rotation yet. It looks like they're going to play coy a little bit, maybe not announce it until tomorrow. Although media day of the World Series is going on right now, and the Nationals portion of it's coming up a little bit later today. So maybe we get some news on the Nationals rotation whenever they speak a little bit later in the afternoon. A.J. Hinch did announce his rotation for the World Series, at least the first four games. He's going to start with Gerrit Cole. No surprise there. He was rested and ready to go in case there was a Game 7. Justin Verlander will go Game 2, which was a big reason I think A.J. Hinch decided to pitch Verlander in Game 5 of the World Series of the ALCS, was to pitch him on Friday so he would be able to use him earlier in the World Series if they got there. They did. He's pitching Game 2. Zach Greinke will go in Game 3, which is good because he's your best hitting pitcher. If you're looking for any advantages or value at all, Zach Greinke, a pretty good hitting pitcher, he'll be pitching in Game 3 in a National League Park. He'll be in the batting order. And then Game 4 will be another bullpen day. We'll see if it's Brad Peacock starting off as the opener like they did against the Yankees, or if Jose Urquidy just flat out gets a start. What it will be interesting in that game, though, in Game 4, is that you have a bullpen day, but you also have it in a National League ballpark where the batter, the pitcher is going to have to bat every nine times through, you know, every ninth spot of the order. So it might throw a wrinkle into A.J. Hinch has to manage it.
Yeah, it definitely changes the management game, right, is of mixing in the sticks with whatever pitcher's in the game. And do you want to bring him out or do you not? The one thing I know is that aspect you just mentioned about the Astros and a bullpen game, I feel a whole hell of a lot better about that conversation going into this series than I did going into the Yankees series. And it had nothing to do with how good the Yankees were. The conversation I'm talking about has everything to do with the Astros up and down. That they clearly got some nice arms in the bullpen, but it just seemed like at some time or the other, whether it was the injury bug or it was just a collapse, there was some concern, but after the last two games that have been bullpen heavy for the Astros, you take Osuna's two-run homer, which we've already discussed was a damn good job by a damn good hitter, and he was just essentially better than Osuna was in that situation. I mean, you take that two-run shot out of the mix, Wade, and you got a good sample size in two different games of some impressive numbers out of the bullpen.
Yeah, no question about it. Sometimes you just got to tip your cap to somebody that outfights you, and I think you had to do that with LeMahieu. He just, you know, he fought through that at bat and ended up hitting a two-run home run. But overall, I think you have to have a lot more confidence in what you're going to get out of your bullpen based off of the performances that they put out there against the Yankees. Remember now, this bullpen was going against the Yankees lineup. Yep. This wasn't a slouch batting order that they were going against. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but at one point, both teams were batting under 200. And I'm pretty sure it stayed that way going all the way through the entire six games of the series. And so now you look at it and say, well, a lot of that had to do with the bullpen because the bullpen had to pitch a bunch of innings in the Greinke game. They had to pitch a bunch of innings in the bullpen game. And so, you know, I like what I saw out of Harris. I liked what I saw out of Smith. I think that, you know, Presley, he's kind of got a little thing, a scar tissue in his leg or something like that, and hopefully he can get back. But and like you said, besides the two-run home run, Osuna pitched well as well. So I just think that, you know, the bullpen has definitely played better and given the Astros faithful and myself a lot more confidence going into the World Series.
Wade, you said something about that 200 batting average, both teams hitting under.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you one more nugget on the starting pitchers in this series here.
Okay.
The starters on these two teams have held their opponents to a combined batting average of 183. Oof. In the postseason, baby. So that 200 number sounds nice knowing that it's been 183. That'd be a little bump up.
The Mendoza line for both of them.
No question about it.
Presley, by the way, questionable, I think, is the best way to put it right now. The Astros have not announced their World Series roster. They're still waiting for the last possible moment to see how Presley responds. If he doesn't go, maybe you see Wade Miley back on the World Series roster just to eat up some innings in case you have to mop up some innings. It's Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham. A play happened yesterday in the Texans game that I really wanted to get into because I don't know if it necessarily would have changed the outcome of the game, but it would have put a different scope on that game. 6:47 mark, second quarter. Texans are trailing 7-3. Third and goal at the Indy 4.
On third and goal at the 4. Deshaun gets the snap. Looking. Pressure on. Watson trying to escape. And he can't barely do it. He throws to the end zone. He hits Hopkins. How did he stay upright? And now The ball comes out, but they rule it a touchdown. Oh, my goodness. Watson.
Rolling on the field, the quarterback was under pressure in the grasp. He was sacked. Fourth down.
Crazy rule, or we know the rule, but a crazy play. Looked like a touchdown, then all of a sudden, oh, no, he got sacked. Texans had to settle for three. I get the rule. I get the letter of the law was probably right there. But to me, you can't blow the whistle and allow Watson to get hit anyway. Like, if you're going to protect his health, he can't take another hit on top of it.
Well, Jeremy, that's how bang-bang the play was, and that's why it's unacceptable. The ref has to absolutely eat the whistle at this point in time. I mean, really, think about it. That's you took a sack away, or you took a hit. If you're the defensive coordinator and you play Deshaun Watson, I ain't getting caught up in the numbers aspect of it, but I want to hit his tail as much as I possibly can, right? And so you want, as a defense, you want to allow those plays to be extended so you can hit him as much as possible. This was a situation when the whistle should have been swallowed. There's no doubt about it. You didn't end up protecting the quarterback the way that you hoped to have protected the quarterback, and you clearly didn't take into consideration who the quarterback for the Houston Texans is and how he plays the game of football and the quarterback position. That was a bad call all the way around, and it's not that it could have changed the outcome of the game. It damn sure would have changed the outcome of that football game.
And I hated the explanation from Gene Steratore when he was on the broadcast and basically explained it away. But look, if you're going to explain it away and say we're trying to protect the quarterback, then you have to call the personal foul because you blew the whistle. You can't have it both ways. You can't short the team out of the actual play and finishing that play and then also allow the quarterback to get hit, because then you didn't do anything right and you messed up everything in the play. You didn't allow the play to go on, which it should have been a touchdown, and then you got the guy hit when you were trying to protect him. So, I don't know if this is possible. They blew the whistle, and you definitely heard the whistle. Is there any way they could have said, you know what, is an inverted whistle, let the play go?
Well, inverted whistle automatically kills the play. So I think they would have had to replay the down if that was the way that they went.
To me, that's what you have to do. I mean, give the Texans another opportunity, because you screwed them both ways the way it ended up going. By you just saying, you know what, we blew the whistle, but the play couldn't finish. But at the same time, Deshaun still got hit. Okay, don't call the personal foul on them, but it was an inadvertent whistle. You gotta swallow your whistle now and say, you know, we're going to replay the down. But what they did was they stuck to their guns and they said, you know what, we did this so that we could protect the quarterback, so the whistle was legit. Well, if the whistle was legit, then call the personal foul because he still got hit upside the head. Logically, it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, the thing is, the more I looked at it, because they replayed it five times, right? The more you look at it, you're like, man, that was a bang-bang play. I mean, I'm an old quarterback. I love when you do things to protect the quarterbacks. I believe they go way too far with the defensive lineman getting pushed into Brady's ankles and knees, and that's somehow a flag. I think they went way too far last night on Jalen Smith. I believe his forearm or his hand made contact with Carson Wentz's helmet, but it wasn't forceful, but it was contact, so they throw a flag. It's 15 yards, keeps the drive alive. They go down and score points. Didn't end up helping them because the Cowboys beat up on them, but it's a game-changing play, man. Like, when the protection of the quarterback goes so far to where it's, quite frankly, where it's at today, it's too much. And that's coming from an old quarterback that I want to be protected as much as I possibly can. Right now, it's way, way too much in favor of the quarterback.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.